Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. The pastor had been with his confirmation class for almost a year. And then they learned Luther's catechism, they learned the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer. And so he was reviewing with the class one more time before he gave them the exam. And he said, "Billy, of the Ten Commandments, what's the first one?" And he said, cleanliness is next to godliness." Now, I like personal hygiene too, but that's not quite the answer. What is the first commandment? Do you know? Yes, to have no other gods before me. And so the teacher was frustrated. Did you ever have that? Where you were teaching somebody or you thought somebody knew something and he asked them and then you got frustrated? Did you ever have that happen to you? With your children or whatever, you know? It's like the same old, same old. Well, if you feel that way and you can understand that, then you understand what Jesus is going through. Jesus had been with his disciples, some would say a year, or some scholars say 3 years. We don't know, but he's with them for a long time. And they still didn't get it. And in this chapter we are on today, it comes right after chapter 10, 32 to 34, where Jesus tells them quite out, "I'm going to Jerusalem. And there I will be ridiculed and tortured and spit upon and crucified. And 3 days later, rise from the dead." In other words, his rule would be radically listening to his Abba, his Father in heaven. God's will, not his will, not human will. He focused on God's will. Even the last few hours of his life on earth. Remember, he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And radically is different from the way of the world, who views power and prestige in a very different way. His rule centered on the suffering servant. What's one of the last things Jesus did before he was crucified? He washed his disciples' feet as a slave. And this was no ordinary slave. In Rome, you had different kind of slaves. Some would be teachers, as children. These were all slaves. But the one who washed your feet was the lowest of the lowest slaves. It would be the same slave that would clean the latrines. This is what Jesus says. This is how we are to be, follow the way of the cross, if we're going to follow him. That's why Luther always called himself a theologian of the cross. Yet the disciples, especially James and John, were thinking of ruling over others, being some of the big shots when the kingdom comes, not serving others. They were with Jesus, yet they didn't understand how Jesus was turning the whole world upside down. Turning values upside down. The way we view things upside down. Where prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners were welcome. And the rich and the powerful and the religious leaders, they didn't get it. There's a different way, turning things upside down. Countercultural. Luke sums it up in Jesus' attitude when he writes, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted." Luke had it at the beginning of his gospel with Mary's Magnificat. The low will be raised, and those who are on high will be brought low, and there'll be a level plane. So if we really want to follow Jesus, it means we have to be in his way and following his Abba, our God. His kingdom, his reality. Remember a few years ago, those bracelets that were really popular, WWJD? You know, some people think, if you like to drink, it was "We want Jack Daniels," or WWJD. If you're a policeman, sorry, Jim, "We want jelly donuts." But what does WWJD mean? What would Jesus do? That's wonderful. What will our Savior do? I remember growing up, you always had that commercial about the phantom police car. If you're driving your car, pretend there's a policeman there, and how would you drive? Well, what would Jesus do? He's thinking, okay, in this situation, what would you do, Lord? And to pray and really want it, because we love the Lord as disciples. We want to follow what Jesus wants. We want to make Jesus happy if we love. It's like I love my wife, and I want to make her happy. So, and we want to emulate Jesus. If he's our Lord and Savior, if he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and through baptism we are children of the King, so we're King's daughters and sons, and we want to follow his way. We want to live life as Jesus lived it. We want to follow him. In fact, he says in John's Gospel, those who are with me, they will do greater things than me, because I'll go to the Father, and he'll send us the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that's in Jesus will be in us, and it is in us through our baptism. How? How to be like Jesus Christ? How to be great? Number one, he says, whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be slave of all. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Servanthood, serving, thinking of the other. Keys to the imitation of Jesus Christ. Think about it. How do you feel when somebody really cares about you? And they really try to anticipate what you would like. When you talk to them, they look you in the eye and they listen to you. They care about you. I mean, one of the things my wife does is every day before church, she cleans my glasses. I mean, that's so I can see you. That's love. It makes you feel good, doesn't it? How do you feel when somebody ignores you? How do you feel when you have a 1 o'clock appointment and they come at 2:30? How do you feel when you're talking to somebody and looking around? How do you feel when you're sharing something very deep with somebody, a pain with somebody, and say, yeah, I understand that. When my Uncle Charlie, boom, they start all of a sudden me and I, and they don't focus on you. Feel pretty bad, don't you? Yeah. You know, our life is so hectic, and all these iPhones and stuff, which is supposed to help you, they're making us more nervous. And you watch the news, the world's in very bad shape, in a very scary shape. And the gifts, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, are beautiful, but sometimes we feel we haven't had that for a long time. We need to see grace again. We need to see people working together to loving one another. How? How? Well, Jesus changes our perspective. The revolution has happened. The way of Jesus is happening. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, we're praying for a whole new radical reality. We don't make the kingdom of heaven happen. Martin Luther tells us the kingdom of God comes of its own. But what we do is we prepare for the kingdom that's coming, that new reality that's coming, that beloved community that's coming right now. That's why I was going to pick the hymn, but again, one of my favorite hymns. It goes, Jesu, Jesu. How's the rest of it go? fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. That's it. You come here to church. You fill up with God's word and music and prayer and the holy sacrament. And you're strengthened then to be a disciple in the world, to show the world a different way. St. Paul tells us, in Philippians, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you must look not only to your own interests. I mean, look at your interests. I mean, you need to eat, you need to sleep, you need to stay healthy. Yeah. But he also says, but also to the interests of others. You know, it's not, it goes from, you know, my way, Frank Sinatra, I did my way, blah, blah, blah. It's we, our, it's not my, me and Jesus, our Father. It's we, us, together. How do what I do affects you? I mean, in Japan, which is maybe 10% Christian, you see that because people not only do they do what they need to do, but they always think, how's that going to affect Marilyn? How's that going to affect Ann? How's that going to affect Carol? How's that going to affect Jim? You're thinking, yeah, that's we affect each other. And the question becomes today, are we serious followers of Jesus? I mean, you're loved, you're forgiven, that's a given. Your salvation is won through Jesus Christ. But are we serious followers right now of Jesus? Do you want to become what God made you to be from the very beginning? Do you want to follow God's way? Do you want thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven through you? Mahatma Gandhi said once, you must be the change you wish to see in the world. You are responsible for that. As Luther says, the kingdom comes of its own, but we pray that it will also come to us. Or St. Paul, your attitude must be that of Jesus Christ. You know, James and John didn't get it. Jesus said, we who are baptized into Christ, we are to be different from the Gentiles, different from the world, countercultural, different from that. We are to be the graceful people. We are to be great by serving. Oh yeah, the world will tell you, nice guys finish last. Oh, you're just being sentimental. Oh, this is just pablum. No. Jesus tells us he is the way, the truth, and the life. Love is the most powerful thing in the world, and love, as St. Paul tells us, never ends. When our loved one dies, that love is still there. That connection is still there. And when Christ comes again, we will be reunited with those who have gone before us. That's why Luther never said goodbye. He said, Auf Wiedersehen. Auf Wiedersehen. Till I see you again in glory. And we Christians at St. Paul's, we have many ways of serving. And I thank God for the ways you do, the way Don plays your, with the, you know, people, Eileen's sick, she broke her hip, and then people up in here early to help out, people lecturing, people cleaning the property, people helping out in so many different ways. My heart is happy that you're learning the joy of serving. There's four things that happens when you serve in Christ's name. One, you're imitating Christ. You're imitating Christ, your Savior. You who are, you're his student, you're his disciple. You're imitating him. That's a good, makes you feel good. Two, when God gives you a talent and you use it, that makes the talent come alive. Like my talent's not organization. I hate that. You should see my study at home. But I love to teach. I love to preach. It makes me happy. I know it might not make you happy. It makes me happy. But think of the gift that God has given you to sing or to listen to somebody or to write a card to somebody that's not here or to help out with the bulletins or to vote for a good person. Whatever that might be, when you use your talent, it makes you joyful. And when you get involved, you find people that have similar interests. You make new friends. You work together. And you are promoting the ministry of God's kingdom in very tangible ways in the world. So prayfully, ask where God's leading you to serve. Maybe you're already doing that. God bless you. Maybe there's a new way you can serve. You could try to flex maybe different, like singing or playing an instrument or whatever that might be. You know, we're always growing. We're always learning. I was with Annie the other day at her house. We were praying together, and her son's dying. And yet, in the midst of that, she's teaching me German. She's teaching me how to speak German with the umlauts and all that stuff. I mean, she's 99 years old, and she's still learning, and she's still teaching. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And people will notice. People today in America are lonely. They're anxious. They're starving for love. They're starving for somebody to listen to them. They're starving. And when they ask you, why are you being so nice to me? There you go. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ in my life. Boom. That will change the world for the better. That will help make you part of a vibrant congregation. It'll make God smile. And we will be intentional disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus who came not to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for all. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.